Thank you, choir. God promised to send us the Holy Spirit. And I reckon if God says something, he must mean it. Amen? Amen? And this sending of the Holy Spirit happens to be directly tied to this four-letter word that starts with P and ends with Y. Pray. 2,000 years ago, the apostles, they preached with power to their persecutors, to even some of their executioners. 2,000 years ago, these apostles received new strength in the face of adversity, and they healed. They even raised the dead. And we hear these stories, and we think that's just yesteryear. We think that maybe the Holy Spirit is done acting and doing things, much less would he do anything now, we could be tempted to think. Look at this. The promise of the Holy Spirit is not limited to any age or to any race. Christ declared the divine influence of his Spirit was to be with his followers until when? Till the end. From the day of Pentecost to the present time, the Comforter has been sent to all who have yielded themselves fully to the Lord and to his service, to all who have accepted Christ as personal Savior. The Holy Spirit has come as a counselor, sanctifier, guide, and witness. The more closely believers have walked with God, the more clearly and powerfully have they testified of their Redeemer's love and of his saving grace. The men and women who through long centuries of persecution and trial enjoyed a large measure of the presence of the Spirit in their lives have stood as signs and wonders in the world. Before angels and men have they revealed the transforming power of redeeming love. I believe we have witnesses here today. Because God promised his Spirit, amen? Not just witnesses who are here today, but witnesses who want to testify. In fact, when you meet Jesus, all you can do is talk about Jesus. He's all you want to tell people about. And at this moment, I'd like to invite some witnesses that I've specifically asked to come and share with us during our morning message, so to speak. And so you can come up at this time. Message will be a little different today. Because the Bible doesn't say there will be a witness. So you will be my witnesses. And we just finished having 10 days that I believe were life-changing. And I don't want you to hear from me. I want you to hear from them. And so how many of you have been to a 10 days of prayer before? Okay. I'd like to pick on the guinea pig. Dave, could you share with us what it was like to experience your first 10 days of prayer?
Well, we've attended prayer length of time, prayer kind of things, but never specifically a 10 days of prayer. And we certainly believe in prayer, but I think going into this, it was the tyranny of the urgent. Can I really make it every night to that. And then once we got into it was, I can't but not make it the next night. So this was a very powerful, moving experience for Sherry and I, and we greatly enjoyed the fellowship with everyone that was there.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. So that means that the rest of you have been to at least one 10 days of prayer, and you chose to come back. What a thought. And so tell me why. I mean, you've already been to one. Why come to the 10 days of prayer again? Who'd like to speak to that?
One of the things that I experienced as I came night after night, there was a peacefulness, a joy, a unity. And as everyone bowed their heads down and sought the Lord with all their heart, when they asked for the needs either of the community and the family, there was just a spirit of unity and love that was just powerful. The Holy Spirit was present, and it was moving upon our hearts to give our all to Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Who else would like to speak to that?
For myself, when we attended the first time last year, you know, you not doing something, you don't know what to fully expect, and I felt that way, and it took a little bit to just get used to the way that we involve everyone, because I saw that was really number one and really important, to give everyone a chance to have some input and share and pray if they wanted to. And there, you know, I saw that it was such a gentle, beautiful leading to help us understand what prayer is with God, but especially prayer with each other. It was to hear the different needs spoken. You can hear it in their voice. You feel their urgency, and you can't help but just be closer to that person, even if you can't quite tell who's praying. There is a beautiful unity that just happens, and I have to end it with just saying that this, when you attend something like the 10 days of prayer, what I walked away with, number one, was a closer walk with God and a deeper faith. But especially, it lasted with me all year long. And I really love that, and I recommend it to everyone.
Amen.
Yes, I came last year as a newborn Christian, and all I could do was absorb everything that there was being shared so that I could grow. This year I wanted to come because I needed to grow more, but also I needed to participate and share my experience. And though I read the Bible and have devotions, I'm on my own and I don't get any feedback from others. So I don't always get the whole answer. And coming here and hearing the other experiences of other people, I got a larger look at the answer, and I grew, and I was blessed, and I thank everybody for sharing the love of Jesus with me.
I don't know who's all on Rose's prayer list that she prays at home, but I thought to myself as I heard Rose pray, I said, if I was on that list, I'd watch out, because Rose prays with a vengeance, man. She is serious, and she believes in what she prays about. George, I think you wanted to say something.
Well, Will mentioned something that has just captured my attention these past 10 days. And some of these folks have heard me talk about it already, and I hope they're not tired of hearing me say it. But what I witnessed was the development of what I guess I will call an element of spiritual unity. I don't know what else to call it. There's probably a better vocabulary somewhere. But to be in the presence of a group of fellow Christians who are expressing their deepest needs, their most innermost thoughts, and sharing those with one another, openly with each other, that has just struck me very, very personally. on a personal basis, I have a difficulty with being open in public. I'm a private individual, very private. In fact, some of you might have noticed that my public prayers are kind of short. I appreciate and understand the value of corporate worship and corporate prayer. But these last 10 days have shown me an openness, a willingness to share that is not common in the general public. It can only be in a special group. And I've learned that. I appreciate it, and I'll carry that with me.
Amen, amen. I don't know if, okay.
Every 10-day of prayer that you come to is a little bit different, even if the format's the same or similar. You're at a different place in your life. You're at a different time. Different people come, so you get different experiences. But the unity that everybody's been talking about, it culminated last night. If you guys weren't here, let me tell you, you missed it. And we're sorry that you weren't there. I know some of you couldn't come, but it was amazing last night. The unity that we had last night was a little taste of heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody just was so on the same page, serving each other, loving each other. It was beautiful. And I think this 10-day of prayer was a little different for me in one respect, that I went home with homework three different nights. One night, David said to me, "Have you ever read Psalms 118? I thought he said 116, so I went home and read 116, and I liked it even better. Will, one night, when he was leading out, he had some scriptures listed, and I think that David did too. Other nights we had those. But Will said, "Take these home and pray through them." And I'm familiar with doing that. I love to pray through scripture. And I did. I took those home and prayed through those. And my morning worship the next morning was so much sweeter. And the other one wasn't really homework, but kind of. Pastor Tony had a prayer on one of the last nights about when we go to the grocery store, you're not just going to the grocery store. You're not just going to get something. You're going there to meet someone, to share Jesus with them, to let your light shine. And I had never thought about going to the store in that way. I pray for divine appointments in the morning, but I don't actually think when I'm going to the store, okay, I'm going there not for what I'm getting, but for a divine appointment. So I really appreciated the input and the leadership and just the whole time we had.
Amen. As we have been going through the 10 days, I believe the Holy Spirit had been preparing us even before the 10 days even started. Because being a witness, it kind of means that witnessing starts even before I leave my house. It means that I'm willing to seek God and allow Him to work in my life. So here's my question I'd like to transition to. What did you know God was trying to tell you or even do in your life before the 10 days even started, that during the 10 days you were not only convicted of, but maybe you took a step of faith in that direction? Who'd like to speak to that?
It's the same thing that God's always convicted me of, before, during, after in my life. More time with Him, more time on my knees. We are down at the end of time, and we don't have much time left. And the more time I can spend with Him, the better for me, the better for everybody around me. So He's constantly convicting me of that, and it definitely came through.
Amen.
One of the things that I was convicted of is the fact that I need to unite in prayer more with my brothers and sisters. And I need to be more fervent in prayer, asking for the Holy Spirit. And I want to live by what Jesus has taught us, not my will, but your will be done. I want to learn what that means in my life. I was very convicted of that. And of course, I shared with the group on the night that I led the five solas of the Reformation, it's something that I want to continue to keep before me. Grace only, faith only, Christ only, Scripture alone, and the glory of God alone.
Amen.
Amen.
And if I could, I just want to input that mine really was to go, meaning the Lord really put it on my heart. He said, don't rationalize this. Do not come up with things that you, other things that may be more important. It's so easy. We all know what that feels like to just go, I can't go out one more night. You know, I can't do one more thing. But you know what? In all the stories in the Bible, we have, and in our lesson study is talking about faith, about Daniel and his three friends and what they went through and how God gave them supernatural courage and they did what they needed to do to bring glory to God. You know, that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. We need a purpose in our hearts that we want a closer walk with him. Whatever it will take, if it's not happening at home, I just so highly recommend to you that you step out in faith and you just purpose in your heart to get closer to your church family, know them. You know, we all see things that if any one of us saw an elder lady trip and fall down, we would go right to her aid. Well, you know, it's the same way with our spiritual walk. If we see, we know in ourselves that we're lacking or we need help, it's okay. That's good. That's normal. And we need to reach out and do that. And in these 10 days of prayer, it was so beautiful to hear people's prayers of how they needed help. And you just instantly want to reach out to them and pray for them and tell them, I'll continue after this at home to pray for you. So it's just a beautiful blessing.
Amen.
I'd like to share that, you know, the lesson, I mean, the whole 10 weeks was based on seeking the Spirit. One of the nights was surrendering to the Spirit. I'm retired, and I feel like I'm busier now than when I was working. And I recognize that God is calling my heart. Mm. And it's easy to say, I'm too busy. And so through this week, I have renewed that commitment of a surrendered heart, a desire to serve and answer to the prompting of that Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. And I can say that my life today is significantly different than it was 3 weeks ago.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, you started touching on something where you've mentioned the time element. 10 days of prayer, 1 hour a day. And some of you live a ways away. George, 30-minute drive, give or take?
Yeah, a little better than that.
All right. Will and Tully? Oh, okay. And so you guys live over the hill and through the woods. And so 1 hour plus traveling here, 30 plus minutes heading back home. My question is this. Was it worth it to invest so much time nightly, day after day?
Well, I have to say yes. And you asked, you know, what were our thoughts leading up to mm-hmm. the 10 days of prayer? My thoughts were that, boy, this is going to be a real burden. It's going to mess me up something terrible. Because, you know, I have to figure really 45 minutes to get here, 45 minutes to get home. Really, there's only 40 minutes if everything goes right. But it doesn't always go just right. But, you know, you add that hour and a half on top of the hour here, and then there are things to do when you get here and things to do after the meeting closes. You know, basically, it wipes out the whole evening. And besides, it really messes up your dinner schedule. You know, that's important. So I thought, you know, this is going to be a burden, frankly. That was my thought leading uh-huh. into it. And my thought coming out is that, yeah, it was a burden, but it was well worth the effort, well worth it. And I think the personal benefit that I got, and I'm not going to talk for everybody else, the personal benefit that I got was well worth all the effort, any of the disruption that it might have caused in my own personal schedule. And I noticed some things. This is going a little bit different track, I'm sorry. But people have talked about the feeling of unity, the sharing, the ability, the opportunity, the blessing when you get to share in other people's expression of need. And I remember one evening, I'm thinking it was probably Wednesday evening this week, we prayed specifically for the health of our pastor's wife. That was an effective prayer.
Amen.
And it was very impressive.
In fact, it was drastic, the change from when they prayed to the results that happened within those next 24 hours. Rose.
I was convicted to come before I came, before it, and it was going to be a burden for me because I hate to drive at night. And that first night with the rain, well, it was terrible.
Of which, if I may interject, Rose has been attending our midday prayer meeting at 1 o'clock because she prefers not driving at night. But lo and behold, here I see Rose at 6:30 p.m. Why, Rose?
Because I needed the Lord. And the first night it rained and it was terrible. And I did, and I prayed to the Lord and I said, if you want me to come every night, please change it so that it's safer for me to drive, because I'm not the best driver in the world. So I came, and the first day, and the next day, it was good. And all through the 10 days, the weather has been nice enough that I can drive safely here. And it was worth all the trouble, because I got so much benefit from it. And everybody, you felt, you could feel the love as everybody shared. And it wasn't only that we prayed on some of the texts out of the Bible, and the leaders would say, what do you get from this? What do you see from this? And somebody would answer and insist, well, what else? What? And it just opened me up. And I felt the Holy Spirit come and convict me.
Amen.
And I praise him. And even when we finished and left, it was only an hour. But you took it home with you, and you sought more understanding, then more answer. And it's been happening forever. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I'm going through, what did you reveal to me? And how much I've been remembering my childhood and lessons my mother wanted to learn to teach me, and I only learned the surface, and now I'm going deeper and fully understanding what she was trying to teach me, bringing me to the Lord.
Amen.
And I now want to witness to everybody.
Amen.
I get nervous, I feel inadequate, but I desire to do it, and I will do it.
Amen. That sounds like a statement of faith, if you ask me. You've talked about the time commitment. Some of you, it was more than others, depending on where you lived geographically. But could there have been a moment where maybe you stopped and thought, yeah, we maybe can't meet every night for the rest of the year, per se, like this. But what does my evening typically look like? Granted, we may not be doing things that are horrible per se, but is it to the same caliber, to the same spiritual focus that we have had these last 10 days? Any thought about that? Could there be more that we can be saying, you know what? I not only need to spend time with the Lord in the morning, but I need some in the evening. And whenever there's opportunity, maybe that's my invitation with my church family to come together and pray as so. I think one of the things we also did during these 10 days, we may have been impressed to put something aside, to fast from something. It may have been food. It may have been an activity. I don't know what it may have been, but if you did fast, what did you fast of and why?
Sherry said, if he asked that question, what are you going to say? One of the things that I like to do is wind down at the end of the day. And we read, we play games, we spend time with family, we watch television. And I told Sherry, you know what? There won't be any television for me at all in the evening. I want to just turn it off. I don't want to know what's happening in the world. I don't want to know what all the business of the politics is. Amen. I want to just focus on, Holy Spirit, what do you want in my life? And that was an easy decision, but it was a powerful result. I just felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to our heart, warmed our hearts. I spoke to being different. You know, when you spend time totally focused on what God wants in your life, it's transforming. Mm. And it's not to say that all of us here aren't focused on what God wants best for us, but it's setting aside that special time just to really focus and say, Lord, where do you want me to go? Mm. What do you want me to say? And there are many people that were here all of those 10 nights that could speak to their own walk that's not sitting up here today.
That's right.
But that experienced that same thing. And one of the things that it did for me was to be able to tune in to the pain, the joys, and the requests through prayer of people that I know, but I didn't really know. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Anyone else like to speak to that?
I did. I fasted from dessert.
Oh.
And it was hard in the beginning, but it got easier. But I realized that my body is a temple of God, and I thought my temple needed cleaning. Mm. So that's what I did. I also gave up spending on the necessities of life, because what I want to do with the money to say, I want to send the money to do God's work.
Amen. Amen. Susan? Looked like you were ready to.
I'm like Sherry. I thought about that question. How am I going to answer that? Because fasting is such a private, personal thing between you and God. And some people feel like if they didn't fast, then they did something wrong. And some people, well, if they did fast, oh, then they're self-righteous or holy. So I'm going to answer it how God impressed me. I've spent the last several days since Pastor Tony asked us to come up here thinking about fasting, and we typically think of it as clearing our minds so we can hear God better, keeping our temple clear, and that is true. But what God was impressing upon me more than that was, it's surrender. When I lay something aside, I am surrendering and removing whatever is between me and God. Maybe a perfectly good thing and not bad in itself, but it's just that act of, I want to give this offering to God when I fast. And like Abraham, God can say, you have not withheld anything from me. And I would love to get to that point where Abraham was, where God can say that about me, and I definitely am not there yet.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, I was just going to add, I did the same thing as Rose here. I gave up sugar, and I had withdrawals. Definitely. And, you know, I got to thinking, and I want to speak to what Susie just mentioned. How many of us are used to just denying ourselves? Do we deny ourselves time? Do we deny ourselves something that we eat that maybe isn't the healthiest? Do we deny ourselves getting upset at something? Or, you know, these are little ways, or we may see them as a little way, but they're huge because we have that freedom of choice to do whatever we want to do. And I think when you fast, you're practicing denial. You're practicing surrender. You're struggling. And you don't make it if you don't ask the Lord for help.
That's
I
right.
definitely learned that one. So I would like to say that I'm not quite 10 days without, but and I'm continuing this. That's the other blessing that has come from it. I think I finally got it and purposed in my heart about the next day. So 9 days.
Amen. As time is slipping away, I want to start directing us to one last question here. Do we have to wait until next year to be able to participate in corporate prayer? What could we do if we don't have to wait till next year?
One of the things that I have been impressed for the last few months is in Israel, there was morning and evening sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And that was, the people would come before the Lord and would pray and confess their sins and place their faith in the Lamb of God. And one of the things that I want to do, and we've been speaking together, Tulia and I, about setting up a time, an evening time, where everything is, the TV shut off and everything stands still, so that we can turn our eyes toward heaven and pray and spend and linger with the Lord in prayer. And so I want you all to pray for me to be able to, for Tulia and I to accomplish that, because that's the Lord's been impressing me of that.
Amen.
Real quick, I thought about that question. And I thought about, I said, well, possibly what could happen on a either, I don't know about a nightly gathering, but maybe either twice a week or whatever a small group might choose, that maybe a conference call could happen between homes, that maybe people of like 3 or 5 would get on the phone and do a quick, you know, day of prayer with each other and spend however many minutes you decide on. But you know, we have FaceTime, we have phones that you can add calls to now, and there's ways
That's right.
to do it. So,
anyway. Amen. Thank you.
Something I would love to see us do, and Pastor Tony brought this out last night, is pray till midnight, pray all night long. And I know that's probably really overwhelming to some people, but when we have done that in churches we were in previous to here, you could just feel the Holy Spirit's power. Prayers were answered. We would pray over one person who was really struggling. That whole time was devoted to praying over that person. You took different times. People came and went, but there was always somebody lifting that person up to God. And it was an amazing experience. You think you can't stay awake, but God will keep you awake.
Amen. Any other ideas? I've heard teleconferencing, a night of prayer. Anything else that we can do to have corporate prayer during this next year? That way we don't have to wait till January to do likewise in one way, shape, or form. Do you think that maybe we can come to prayer meeting? And God may be impressing in your heart of maybe having a prayer partner, someone you pray with every single day, whether it's one or your group. But I truly believe we need more prayer in our lives and in our church. And as we bring our 10 days to a close, it's not 10 days of talking, it's 10 days of prayer. And there's 4 items that I'd like to ask you to lead out in prayer as we make our segue towards communion. The first prayer request: for people in our church to be more active participants in prayer and in outreach, for more unity in our church, and that we dig deeper in God's word and live by God's word, and then for communion service. And so I'd like to invite us all, as far as possible, to kneel as we have one last prayer session.
Father, we want this unity all the time, not just here at this moment, not just in 10 days of prayer, but we want it 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We know that we cannot grow in this church unless we're unified by your Spirit. So we ask that you would move in a mighty way on this church, Father, each and every heart, each and every person that's in this room, and that you will change us. Help us to be so devoted to you that you are our every thought in the morning and you are our last thought at night. But that thought continues as a thread all day long. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Precious Lord, these past days we have focused on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have considered how the Spirit is presented, what the character of the Spirit is, what the fruit of the Spirit is, the different elements associated with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And dear Lord, we have been impressed with our need for the Holy Spirit in our lives, day in and day out, and in our church. And we would ask now that you would continue to hold that need foremost in our thoughts and lead us in that direction. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holy Spirit to be poured out on our church, asking that our dedication may be complete in Christ. Lord, there's a verse in Deuteronomy that says, "May the Lord multiply you." And I pray that this church, by the Holy Spirit and the power of God, be multiplied.
Amen.
So more people can find in Jesus their Savior. It was great to hear this morning Mission Spotlight, where it was said that every 22 seconds there's an Adventist being baptized.
Amen.
A person is joining the Adventist Church. And so we ask, Father, that it may happen here in
Amen.
Our valley. May your Spirit be poured out, and may many be saved in Jesus, our only hope and our only Savior. In his name we pray.
Heavenly Father, as we have come seeking you today, we ask that you would search our hearts. Holy Spirit, convict us of our great need of our Creator. Convict us of our need to put aside the things that distract us. Encourage us, Father, in our walk and in our witness. May we lift you up. May you be glorified. And as we share in communion today, may it not just be in fellowship and friendship, but in communion with you, that our hearts might be turned toward home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you see your church family here with us today. You see every man, woman, and child. You know their hearts. You know their struggles, their needs. Lord, I just ask for your Holy Spirit to come and dwell upon each one of us here, to cleanse us of sin, to cover us with your robe of righteousness, and make us yours. Father, I ask for your power and your changing spirit to come and change our lives. And to those that will reflect you, please give us your beautiful character and save us for your eternity. In Jesus' name.
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for revealing yourself to us and letting us know that we need you. We cannot manage in this world on our own, for there are too many faults, places that we can stumble. But we also need each other, for there is strength when we come together. Your Holy Spirit is touching each and every one of us. Let us all draw closer to you and to each other and go out and spread your word to Roseburg and further afield, just as you asked the disciples to go out, starting at home in Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria. Let us follow their example as you lead us. You sent the Holy Spirit these 10 days. You could feel the love and the sharing, and it was all positive. Let it keep continuing to grow in us that we may have a positive influence on all that we meet, that you bring to us and share your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for having heard our prayers. And so as we momentarily will be separating for the foot washing service, we go in your spirit, knowing that you are binding us closer to you and to one another. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. At this moment, we will separate. The gentlemen will be meeting the Sabbath school, children's Sabbath school divisions, as well as the ladies. And over in the BLC, we are set up for couples to wash and serve one another. If maybe you did not come prepared for communion service, I invite you to stay by and spend some time in prayer, talking with the Lord, seeking him while we have opportunity. We have received his spirit this morning. May we go in his spirit. If you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian or not, but believe in Jesus as your Savior, you are invited to participate here today. Well, let us continue worshiping our God.
If you have children, there'll be a children's story right up here. Children, come forward.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Sabbath?
Happy Sabbath.
Likewise, happy Sabbath.